your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. We are sitting here with a dear friend of mine, the co-CEO of Singularity Australia and founder of Utopia X, Miss Christina Gerakides. Did I pronounce that right?
You did, Eric. And yes, that was awesome. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Everyone that's listening, Christina is an amazing catalyst for inspiring the impossible and make it possible. Her purpose is to facilitate the road to utopic society through the opening of hearts and minds to the unlimited potential. She's on a mission, on a huge mission, to empower and inspire leaders to use exponential technologies to solve humanity's biggest and most grandest challenges. I'm so blessed and so grateful to have you here today. We are in for a treat.
Thank you so much. You make it sound wonderful. Thank you. I'm excited.
So how's things? How have you been doing? Because it's been such a long time since we've spoken last. And, you know, what has been new? What has been changing with this huge change of, climate, of course, that we're in currently?
Yeah.
But I wanted to just, you know, specifically touch on what's been changing in your world.
Absolutely everything. So my favorite saying at the moment is, if only I could go to bed one evening with my next day reasonably planned, like I'm not crazy enough to plan it down to the minute and have it go just as planned or fit, you know, what I need to fit in by lunchtime before everything changes amazingly. So I think the fact that this is all about resilience is perfect for the time that we're in. Clearly we're recording this during the time of lockdown COVID-19, even though some of the restrictions, we're leading into lifting some restrictions. But I think that resilience, it's the resilient minds that are helping get everybody through this. And, you know, resilience isn't something that everybody has, and that's okay because we all have different qualities and different traits. I think those of us that are resilient and are used to being fluid, being agile, and making change as it's needed, are helping those people that are less adaptable. And let's face it, we need many different kinds of personalities. And, you know, it's okay to be resilient and agile, and it's also okay not to be, because at the end of the day, it's where we find that balance that creates that utopic society that we're trying to get to.
The balance, I love it. So 100%. So my biggest thing, okay, so you know how on the podcast we always share, and I always ask all of our guests is okay, what is everyone's X factor in their experience and how that determines their why? So specifically with your experience of, like, you know, what you've been through in some of your, you know, your journey, the resilience behind it, what would you say is your biggest X factor with regards to the experience that comes with all of the amazing things that you're currently doing with your mission?
So I think for me, and what I've found throughout my life, and I've been really fortunate to have done some work with Simon Sinek, Start With Why team. So really have delved into what's my reason for being, what's my true north, you know, what is it that I want to do? What's the change that I want to affect in the world? And I think one of the common threads, so we help people go through common threads in their history. And one of my common threads is that it doesn't matter what has been thrown at me. I believe in going over a wall, through a wall, around a wall, dig a hole under the wall. For me, it's about, if you have that determination, how do you keep going? So how do you pivot? How do you shift? How do you change constantly? And I remember I was running an educational organization at one point in time. And I remember sitting there one day thinking, haven't had any problems to solve today. And then sure enough, you know, be careful what you ask for. They came through the door one at a time. But for me, my adrenaline gets rocked, I guess, by needing to solve problems and by helping people solve problems. So I find that my one of my unique factors is that I will push people sometimes to annoyance. Like, I know sometimes my kids get annoyed with me. My kids definitely get annoyed with me, but it's pushing people through and helping find where is that end result? How do we get around that problem, you know, that challenge that you're currently facing? So how do we pivot? There's no such thing for me as a brick wall. It's a pivot. And I even remember, so there have been a couple of quite tragic instances in my life, and I haven't shared this on live anything yet, but I think it's very apt for what we're talking about today. So I went through a period where one of my grandmothers was very sick, and we were with her when she died, and it was quite a peaceful, if you could call a death beautiful, it was a beautiful death because we were blessed, we were all with her. Within half an hour, we got a phone call that my other grandmother had passed. So within half an hour, we figured out it was within an hour that they had, you know, apart that they died. And that was like, whoa, how does that happen? But then we kind of went, you know, they were both quite elderly. And we went, in a way, isn't that lovely? They went together. They were good mates. And they, you know, they chose to go together. And then 3 days later, we went to have a joint funeral. And we found my mother dead. And that was like, whoa, goodness. You know, how do you, we were quite a wow. matriarchal family. We lost the three matriarchs in the family. It was like, talk about a brick wall. And I looked at the situation and like, clearly the grief was there, the anger was there. And then when I had a bit of a chance to come up for air, I went, okay, what am I meant to learn from this? What is this experience? Why has this happened? Why? What am I meant to take on from this? And at that point of time, the answer for me was, there were two answers. One was, hey, do you believe everything that you believe mentally, spiritually, emotionally? Do you actually believe, are you prepared to walk your talk on all those things at this point of time when you've been like whacked, you know, three times in a short space of time? Do you believe all of that? And the second thing was, my mother was an incredible person who kind of held us all together and drew us all together. And she was quite a remarkable being. And the challenge then was, can we stand up on our own two feet? Can we hold ourselves together? Can we do all of this in her absence? And that was a challenge in itself. So that was probably the biggest whack of my life. And finding that resilience and finding that purpose and reason to get beyond that, I think solidified for me that my personality was, how do I get through this? And if I can do this for me, how do I help you get through whatever it is that you need to get through, whatever it takes? That's me.
I love it. I think that that's, and you know, I think that experiencing that type of resilience, especially, you know, that's a big component of, you know, how motivated and how excited are you about moving forward in the time of uncertainty or fear or doubt or when the universe is taking so many beautiful gifts from you, you know, you start to question, right? Yeah, so I guess I think that, you know, what were some of the questions? Because I know for me, there's been questions that in times of, you know, uncertainty, that there's an element of question that I ask myself to keep me going. What were questions that you, you know, for somebody that maybe can relate or that might be listening, that may have gone through some sort of despair or grief that way, what were questions that allowed you to persist and push forward?
So I've done an amount of work on spirituality by that stage. So it was really a question of, do I believe the things that I think I believe? You know, do I believe in what I think the soul's purpose is when it comes, you know, when it lands on earth, so to speak? And do I believe in the lessons that I feel we are here to learn? And at the end of the day, I was very fortunate to come out and go, yes, I actually do. I have this innate, inert, soul gut belief in all the things that I had developed belief systems in. So it was a real test around, you know, are you prepared to walk the talk? Are you prepared to live in your belief system? So for me, that they were the biggest questions. And then it was, how do I help the rest of my family walk through this? How do I help? And so my father was tragically, you know, like he felt it extremely deeply. And my sister the same. So how do I help them? So once I'd established that I was, you know, not that my grief was any less or anything, but I had accepted why things had happened the way they did, and had looked for the lessons that I needed to learn out of it. So my next thing was, how do I help the rest of the people that I love get through this experience? And I find that's very similar to what's going on now. So there's this whole uncertainty. And we've always known uncertainty is a constant. We, you know, the joke around, or, you know, the only sure things in life are death and taxes. But all of a sudden we've been hit with living in constant uncertainty in the situation that we are in. We don't really know, you know, is a restriction going to be lifted tomorrow? Are the COVID numbers going to go up? Are we going to go back into lockdown? When are the schools going to... So these constant questions. And I find... So I'm going to jump into an SU framework for a second.
Please.
We have this, we talk at Singularity U about the exponential curve, and the running comment now is, we'll never have to explain what an exponential curve looks like ever again, because people are constantly seeing it with all the stats around COVID-19. Yeah.
Flattening the curve.
Yeah, absolute. So what I believe, that change is absolutely happening at an incredible rate. And technology is changing at an incredible rate. And aren't we in one way blessed that we have all these methods of communication that when in 1918, with the Spanish flu, when that pandemic hit, they didn't have this technology to keep connected, to stay in touch, to know what was going on out in the world. That some people think that's a good thing, you know, because we do suffer from information overload and we suffer from fake news and all the rest of it. But, you know, I believe we're blessed that we have communication channels such as this, and I can sit here and I can be talking with you, and, you know, I can talk to my dad who is in basically self-isolation and things like that. But we talk about the exponential curve and how fast things are changing. I also believe that there is a reason at this point of our time why people are having more talks around spirituality, why yoga, meditation, mindfulness, breathing techniques, all of those are also, if you like, rising in exponential awareness. So I think that in the constant uncertainty, and COVID has thrown us into an accelerated vision of what our future might look like. It's accelerated people into technology. It's accelerated people into working from home, accelerated online education, accelerated, you know, medtech, for example, telehealth, all these things that were happening a little bit more slowly have been boomed into almost instant existence.
Good old Moore's Law. That,
good old Moore's Law, yeah. but Moore's Law is also happening, I believe, to what we said before, meditation, yoga, mindfulness, etc. And I think the way that we deal with the constant uncertainty, the way that we deal with the constant increase in rate of change, is that we need to take it one step at a time, one breath at a time, one meditation at a time, one yoga experience at a time, because if we manage to balance the rate of exponential change with the stillness and the one step at a time and the live in the moment, that's how we're actually going to get through, and that's how we're going to handle the mental capacity and the emotional capacity to keep resilient, to keep agile, to keep changing in times of uncertainty, because we're going to be taking one step at a time. And therefore that whole fear factor that arises when we're not sure of what's happening, you know, that's how we kind of deal with that. And the other, so we have, at SU, we have an abundance mentality, and we live in optimism and we live in hope. So, and that doesn't mean that we live unrealistically, because realism clearly is all about that. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, feet on the ground, head in the clouds. So what can I dream? What can I create? into possibility, yeah. And then how do I make that a reality? And the other, my other favorite quote that goes with that is Simon Sinek, I think, quoted Seth Godin as saying, an idea without execution is hallucination. So you can have the most imaginative, remarkable ideas, but if you don't execute on them, what's the point?
I love it. And I think that getting to that element of really execution with especially this time, you know, and for anybody that's listening that's unaware of what Moore's law means, I just want to rewind just so everyone's clear. So when we brought that up, we were talking about how there's this gentleman, I don't even know if his name was actually Moore that actually created it, but
it is his name.
So and he actually created of the element of technology doubling itself over the course of the last would you say almost 100 years or 70 years?
I actually think it's a shorter amount of time, but it
was
it was a chip on the transistor. So he said, you know, we double the computational opportunity every time you double the capacity of the transistor chip. So it's like one of the most obvious examples we give around that is if we take 30 linear steps, like 30 steps a linear fashion, we might be from here to my front door away. You know, if we take 30 exponential steps, where we double constantly, so 1 is 2, 2 is 4, 4 is 8, 8 is 16, etc. If we take 30 exponential steps, we are 26 times around the Earth. And that's the exponential curve, you know. And if we go back to let's look at use COVID-19 again. So it we didn't know about it. People are now finding that, you know, I think France said, or the UK, I can't remember which one it was, they found a case from December 2019, whereas they thought the first case was around January or February in their country, but they've gone back to December now. But it's like at the beginning, it's unnoticeable. You don't really know what's going on, but there's this groundswell, and all of a sudden it takes off, because that one person that's infected 4 people, that's then infected 8 people, that's then infected 16 people, grows, and all of a sudden, and that's why people talk about flattening the curve. They're actually talking about flattening the exponential curve in order for us to deal better with the situation.
And I think that's the beautiful part about it is now, you know, experiencing the technologies that are available to us and how they've been able to. I think it was Peter Diamandis, he said by 2026 or 2025, there's going to be a laptop that has the knowledge of all of the brains in the universe combined. So it's fascinating how we can continue to evolve based off of that law and how it continues to help us. And same with the technology, but now you're combining that element of mindfulness. Now people are becoming so aware that they're recognizing that it's themselves that they need to take a moment, breathe, relax, and going after that why. And that's what I think is powerful. And, you know, Simon Sinek, he talks about that start with why. So, you know, pivoting a little bit and really understanding, you know, behind this experience that you've gone through, Christina, you know, you've done all of these, you know, you have this big vision and you have this big why, but how has that experience and you know what, maybe just before I even go there, what is your big why? Maybe you can elaborate on the big why behind what your mission is.
Yep. So my mission is, and you actually touched on it in the intro, I actually believe that if we join forces, if we collaborate, if we build on the right pillars, that we can reach our individual utopic, whatever our individual perceptions are of utopia, we can reach that society. So I actually do believe, and people think I'm totally crazy, but that we can have this life that's built on the pillars of respect and love and hope. And it's almost like we have an opportunity now. You know, people are talking about let's reset, let's revisit, let's not go back to normal. And then I've actually started reading things that say, you know, normal wasn't so bad before. What was wrong with what we had before? And I believe that if we don't look at opportunities to improve ourselves constantly, you know, I mean, we've almost introduced a universal basic income. You know, again, we mentioned before that a lot of things have been hurried through. This concept of a universal basic income has been almost hurried through. A cashless society has been hurried through because we want contactless. So what does it mean when we all band together and we collaborate? And I find right now that we have and it's almost like there's this larger polarizing. We have a scarcity mindset that goes, the economy is going to tumble, recession, blah, all these kind of things, which are very real. You know, they're very real concepts. I'm not disregarding them or disrespecting them at all. And then we have a love and a fear and a compassionate mindset that says we really need to look after each other first. And what I believe is that we need to deconstruct everything we know and everything we think we need and build it up from the beginning again. What do we need as a society to survive? And I also have this theory that many years ago we survived in tribes and everybody had a place in the tribe. So you had a job, regardless of whether it was your unique expertise, you were given a job in a tribe. And if you didn't do that, the tribe would suffer, the collective, your family, your extended family, et cetera, would suffer. Then we went through this period of, it's all about me. This is what I want to do. I like this. I'm not going to listen to anyone else. It's all about me, right? So it was very much ego-based. Now I think we have the opportunity to go, here's my unique skill. This is what I believe that I can contribute, and this is how I can serve my greater tribe. But if we don't look at how we're going to survive altogether, if we don't stop pointing fingers and blaming, if we don't stop trying to pull somebody down, and if we don't stop the whole blame game, then that tribal aspect is going to go back into the micro tribe, into the me, into the we, and this collaborative opportunity that we've been given will have lost a huge opportunity. So I actually think that there's people around the world right now that are going, you know, I'm part of this organization, and I think I've shared it with you. And if I haven't, it's on my list to share with. But it's about one world, you know, how do we share? It's about a global interdependence. How do we all coexist together? And it doesn't mean that we all have to agree with everything and everybody, because we are the sum of our perceptions. And we're the sum of our individual experiences. And that's why we're unique. And we need to celebrate that unique factor. But how do we fit that unique factor, those unique talents and skills that we've all been given, into serving the collective community, into serving and being a great global citizen? How do we do that? And I have this vision of a political governance system, I guess, where, and I know that there's many things that people are saying and talking about with the World Health Organization, but for me, wouldn't it be awesome to have a World Health Organization and a World Education Organization and a World Shelter Organization and a, you know, so that we actually had these global communities that helped us all globally, that were run by experts in their fields, that came together and debated what a great system might look like, and we made a decision on a collective good for all and not just what best suited me. I know it's idealistic and a lot of people think it's naive, but you know, there's been pockets where we've actually proven that this can work throughout society. Wouldn't it be amazing if we did this actual push to love rather than fear, and we could collectively create something that was much more marvelous than what we have now?
I love it. You touched on something that's really powerful, and that is, you know, that same with that, you know, from that scarcity to, or, you know, to that element of love and abundance. And I have that process in how I teach a lot of clients. It's called the resilience roadmap. And it starts from scarcity and it ends at abundance. And it's fascinating how so many of us are pre-programmed like this to really create this this map inside, or not create, but actually have passed down to us. Because I think that it's created through society or ways that, you know, was passed down to us from experiences. But that element of now pushing forward and creating this coalition, I would say, of abundance, where we can come together and build systems so people can plug in and get excited about, you know, living in this one world, this one global human experience where we can build together and help one another when it, in times of, you know, vulnerability or uncertainty, or even when we, because we all can fall back in that scarcity mentality real quick. But if we can have people that we can reach out to and help us get to that element of abundance, how exciting. Like what you're discussing, the vision that you're discussing is genuinely something that needs to be calibrated and taken with so many people, so many thought leaders or entrepreneurs or people that want, people that, people just, anybody that's listening, that, you know, we can all collectively plug in and create that.
Yeah. And I do believe there's a, so we do this exercise and that actually proves that there are more good people in the world than bad. And I've run the exercise several times over, you know, conferences and university students and, you know, multiple times with multiple people. And I just ask people to go, how many, like count on your hands, how many people have intentionally set out to do you harm in your life? And, you know, usually I go, then the question is, how many people, can you count them on more than one hand? And there may be 1 in 100 hands that go up. And that makes my heart feel terrible, you know, that there is actually 1 person out of 100 that can count people that have set out to do them harm on the one hand. Then I go, then the question is, and I think I, in all the times I've asked the question, I've only ever got more than one hand. Can you count people that have set out to do you harm on more than one hand? So only once in probably, I don't know, but in thousands of people that we've done this exercise with. And then we'll say to people, how many people now count? How many people have intentionally set out to do you good? Can you count them on more than one hand? Most hands go up. Can you count them on more than 2 hands? Most hands stay up. So, yeah, and I go, look it. Around love you. You know, there are, it's so simple, and but it makes you think, and the emphasis is on intentional, you know. So there's a difference between somebody non-intentionally harming you by a comment that they've made or something, you know, something that they've done that maybe they thought they were doing you a favor, but in fact, you know, you didn't feel that, and an intentional harm, you know, where I've actually set out to cause harm. And I think that is a really good indication that there are more good people in the world than bad, and there are more people that want to go to the abundance mindset and a love mindset. And I love the way you say scarcity. Yeah. Because we go scarcity, you know, and it's very much whatever scares you scars you. And it's that whole play on the word, which is quite amazing in itself, where some of these words actually come from. So if we can move out of that scarcity, scarcity mentality into an abundance mentality for all, and if we can move from a fear mentality to a love mentality, you know, and at the basis of every emotion that you feel, every reaction that you have, it either comes from fear or love. And I challenge people to next time you're angry, go, why am I angry? Where does that come from? You know, and guaranteed it'll come down to something that you're scared of, you know. You know, scared of being wrong, that you're fearful of making a mistake, that you're fearful for the well-being of somebody. That's where a lot of anger comes from, you know. I mean, even take it back to a baby that's about, or a kid that's about to cross the road, and you instantly go, no, you know, what were you thinking? Yeah. You didn't look left or right, blah. And it's this anger thing, but it actually comes from fear. Because you were mortified that something bad was going to happen to that child if they walked across the road. And then have a think about every time you've done something good for somebody or said a kind word. Why do you want to say that kind word? Why do you want to do that good deed? Why do you want to help someone? And it comes back to love, either love of that person or love of humanity, or, you know, let's face it, they've done studies that prove that when we do good and we are kind to people, we release awesome hormones in our body and we feel good as well. So we're not only making somebody else feel good when we're doing good, we actually make ourselves feel good as well. So, you know, there's a whole lot of lessons in our physiology that says, be good, do good. You know, why on earth would I want to create an arsenic-like reaction in my body, which is what happens chemically when we're in an anger mode? Why would I want to do that to myself? Why would I want to, you know, harm my body like that when I'm living in kindness and when I'm living in love? All these awesome hormones are created in my body that increase my immune system and actually make me feel good.
I love it. I love it. 100%. And the physiology is how we start to recreate that and get excited about what's next, right? The energy, bro. Right.
Yeah, so
my question to you is this. So you clearly have some really powerful, strong principles and values behind, you know, the way that you show up in your work. But do you want to specifically, you know, what things help you amplify? What values are, you know, help you amplify your work and help you get up every morning getting excited? Because, you know, Christina, I know you. You work like 16-hour days. You're hustling all the time. And then when it comes to resilience, you are literally, you know, right there doing what it takes. You know, you're the founder of Utopia X, and you also have, you know, this beautiful, you know, co-CEO that works alongside you, Lisa Andrews. And, you know, you guys are both always grinding away with Singularity University, Australia. How do your guys' values, do your ladies' values show up in this constant next level growth that you guys just, that vision keeps coming?
Yeah, I think it's because what happened with me with SU, for example, I had been very fortunate. So I've been in the innovation space, in the change space for many years. Before innovation and creativity became trendy, I was in the innovation space at the point where I named a business Create and Innovate, and I was laughed at because creativity clearly meant fine arts and ceramics, which I have the highest respect for. But creativity was not associated with business or innovation. And now, you know, everything's creativity and innovation, creativity and innovation. So that's how long I've been in this field for. So I was really fortunate to have met Peter Diamandis and Ramez Mam and Raymond McCauley and Amin Chifani and a lot of the, you know, my colleagues from SU Divya. I had been fortunate to meet them at various conferences that I'd been invited to. And, you know, I was either running a workshop or speaking or helping or whatever my association was. And then the more I looked into what SU was, I realized that I was totally aligned with the vision but really totally aligned with the optimistic, hopeful, positive vision of a future rather than, oh, that'll never happen. And oh, forget it, you're daydreaming. And you know, all these things that I had potentially met. And when you talk about resilience, to hold on to that positivity and that abundance mentality and to hold on to, yes, we can do this, when there's lots of people around you telling you that you can't, is like, that's where the resilience comes in as well. And again, those negative comments were coming from fear. Like, I don't want you to be disappointed. We don't want you to fall apart. We don't want you to work too hard trying to make something happen that we don't think will ever happen, you know? And I've got lots of examples of tiny baby steps where remarkable things have happened for remarkable people because of some of the work that we've done. So I actually ended up going to an SU program, and I just went, oh my God, I found my tribe. I found my people. I found people that think in the same way that I do. And now what that's opened up is meeting lots more people that have that same mentality, like you, for example. So you came into my life when we connected over an SU event. And so there's all these tribes of people that have the same mentality that are now banding together, joining together, working together to create that better world. And we know that it's possible because we know that there are good things happening, even if they're baby step things happen, you know, baby steps happening in shelter, in education, things like the X Prize and where that takes people, the resilience factor that you're building with, you know, with your clients. All these lead to an improved, better global citizenship, global organization, global association. And I think that's what gets me out of bed every morning, is that I have the utmost belief and faith in humanity at the end of the day. And if I can do this to this much to help move it forward, that's what motivates me. And that's not to say that I don't have days where I just want to crawl into the fetal position and cry. And I do, you know, I'll go and sit at the beach and cry and go and release the valve, you know, like release the kraken, but I release the valve. And then so often what happens, Eric, is that I'll be walking along and I'll be feeling sorry for myself and I'll be going, you know, because I walk every day. That's my meditation, my mental sanity, my everything. I walk by the sea every day. when I can. If I can't walk by the sea, I walk by the country, depending on which country or, you know, which area.
Yeah, you're in at that time.
I'll find somewhere to walk. Best way to discover a city is to, you know, is to walk it, or an area is to walk it. But then I'll be feeling really sorry for myself, and I'll be going, what am I doing? You know, we're not having an effect. We're not helping enough people, blah, blah, blah. And then something will happen. And kind of a couple of months ago, this happened. So, you know, I'm walking along and this voice goes, Christina. And I go, can't be me. I don't know anyone in this area. Christina. And I turned around, and this guy came up to me and he said, you don't remember me. It's been a few years, but he said, I was part of an experience that you ran. So we taught people how to run a music business by creating a music event. Like, I was never into read something in a textbook and then you'll figure out how to do it. So I'm a guest lecturer in entrepreneurship at, you know, for a couple of courses at universities, blah. So everything's experiential. So we ran this huge music festival to teach people how to run a music business. And he said, I was part of one of those experiences that you ran. He said, and I know that you probably thought that I was not paying attention and that I might have been talking and I might not have turned up to class enough. He said, but I want you to know that the things that you and the others taught us and shared with us made such a difference in my life that it's actually led me to be doing what I'm doing now. So it's like that little bang from the universe.
Walk to the side of the head, yeah.
Just keep going, you know, and don't worry. And even if you're making so the number of lives that we might have changed as that collective group, and then the number of lives that they might have influenced, that's an exponential curve as well. Mm. I'll tell you one more story because it's very dear to my heart.
I love it. No, please, of course.
So during that experience of running this music event, we would invite people that had stayed with us. So it was if you stayed the whole time, it was a two-year experience, right? The first year you kind of helped in running events in general. The second year you were responsible for actually running a specified music workshop series where we told everybody to aim high. So, you know, if you're a singer, you might want to invite one of the top singers in the country to run a vocal workshop. If you're the guitarist in the group, you might want somebody to, you know, so it was, or you want to do promo and publicity, get Chug to come in, you know. So all these people that were at the top of the game, we said, aim high. Like, don't aim for somebody who you don't have the 100% respect for. Go for high, like aim high in your expectation. Who is it that you want to bring in? So I had this this young student, and she came in and she said, look, I really want to invite this particular female singer to run the vocal workshop. But when I told the rest of the group, they laughed at me because they don't think I can get her. And I go, okay, so if you listen to them and you don't ask, what chance have you got? And she looked at me like I had two heads and said, well, none. I went, mm-hmm. And if you ask her, and you know, what are your chances of her coming? Clearly 50-50, you know, yes, no. I said, if you ask her and she says no, how are you worse off than what you are now? She said, well, probably a couple of hours, because I know you're going to make me research before I write the email that's going to invite her, and that's going to take me a couple of hours. And I went, yeah. So I said, what, worst case scenario, you've lost 4 hours? And she said, yeah. I said, well, you've learnt something in those 4 hours. Yes, you know, how to research, how to construct. I said, if she says yes, she said, well, that'd be amazing. Cut a long story short, she spent 4 hours researching who to contact, what kind of language this person resonated with or used in her communications, how to best ask, what the best process was. And this singer said yes and came and gave the best vocal workshop ever that I had been to. And I can say that because I used to sing in a band. But not only that, mentored her for 12 months. And I go, you know, had you listened to that class that had laughed at you around asking this particular person and never gone one step further, look at all the opportunity that you would have missed out on. So for me, it's about, if you want something, go and make it happen. And people go, oh yeah, but it's luck. And I go, you know, luxy schmuxy. People go, oh, you know, they were just lucky that it happened. And I went, no, they put themselves in as many situations as they could, created as many opportunities as they could, did all the things that they believed in as best they could. And you know what? One of them came off. You don't find out. So I had this amazing discussion with Mark Randolph, who's the founder of one of the founders of Netflix. And he said, you know what? He said, I've had 7 businesses. He said, 6 of them failed big time. He said, yeah. I can't even tell you why Netflix succeeded and why the other businesses failed. And at the point where they were going to give up,
they almost weren't going to go to the meeting with Blockbuster. Am I right? Or something like that?
So what, in the conversation that I had with Mark, he said that they were on their last hurrah. I think they owed $20 million, right? Because I've heard a variation on the figure, but let's just go with $20 million because, you know, $20 million is $20 million.
Yeah.
And he said they Blockbuster had rejected them. They'd taken an offer to Blockbuster, rejected them. They went on this last hurrah, boys' holiday, whatever, surfing trip to wherever they went, and they got a call from Blockbuster. Blockbuster said, you know, we want you to just come and have a chat to us. And they, according to Mark, all they had with them really were their Hawaiian shorts and their surfboards. They hired a jet. And I went, but you're $20 million in debt. How can you hire a jet? And he said, think about it. It cost us $10,000 to hire the jet. We're $20 million in debt. Like, I'm going, yeah, I suppose so. Anyway, so they went and they had a meeting with Blockbuster, and Blockbuster said, how much do you want for Netflix? And they said, 20 mil. And Blockbuster went, see you later, see you on the other side of bankruptcy. And it was on that plane trip on the way back that they actually built the resilience and the determination and went, shove it, we're going to show these guys. And they then went into adrenaline overdrive. You don't know. Like, and I thought it was the weirdest thing when he said, I can't even tell you why Netflix succeeded and why everything else failed. But, you know, so it's that, what is it that you want? How many, what's the diversity of the group that you can bring in? You know, at what point do you go, and that's not to say that sometimes it's not a good thing to go, hey, you know, let's put this baby to bed. But there'll be another baby that's born. And that's where you know that maybe that baby should have been put to bed. You know, how does this whole process work? And what's the brain power and what's the impetus behind it? But getting back to luck, I kind of believe in luck, but I don't think it's luck. I think you put yourself in as many positions where something great can happen. And if you put yourself in enough of those positions, something's going to come off. And that to me is resilience as well. Because can you get the no on all those other positions that you put yourself in and still standing for when someone goes, hey, yeah, I like that. Let's have a chat.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. Yeah, I love that. So when you've described this really great, you know, process of persisting and putting yourself in positions, what would you say is kind of the number one reason why people would fail?
Failure is a really funny word. And there's a whole lot of rhetoric I know around, are you failing or are you learning? And do we consider it failure so as a baby, the very first time, or as a toddler, the very first time that you tried to get up and walk and fell either back on your butt or forward on your face, no one went, you failed, stay down, never get up again. You know, everyone went, oh my God, you tried, let's try again, let's get you up, let's, you know. So I think and then at a certain point, you pass that cute baby factor where you're trying to walk and, you know, everybody's applauding you and everything else. And you get that, oh, that was really dumb. How come you missed 5 marks in that exam? Mm-hmm. Or are you no good at that subject because you failed, you know? So where does it become, get up and try again, go and do that math paper again, go and sit that university test again, go and have that interview again. Where does it go from that encouragement to failure? And my core belief, and again, this is, you know, something going back to when I had to question every belief system that I had, everything, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. And I believe that we create our own reality and that we create as many positive experiences for ourselves as we can. And that's not to say that I don't, that, you know, there's some, you know, there's tragic, absolutely disgusting things that happen to people, you know, in their lives, and I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that they're creating those realities themselves. but what is it about me, and what is it that I can learn from the things that I believe in and what keeps me going? And it's that I don't believe that failure is that stopping point. I actually think failure is a learning opportunity. And sometimes you fail at something because you don't really want to do it. And I remember distinctly studying law. The first career I was ever going to have was going to be a lawyer, you know, and there were so many reasons why that just didn't sit with me. And I actually failed a law exam, first thing I'd ever failed in my whole life, you know, like I was this A-plus student and, you know, came first in my class and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And I actually failed a law exam because I went in there and I didn't write anything in the paper because I wanted to fail. And I go, was that a failure? Like, for me, that wasn't a failure. That was one of the biggest success things that I ever did, was going, that was my crossing point of going, I am not going to do this. And at that point, I got up, walked out, left the course. So I failed the course, but I failed it because it was a crossroads in my life where I
learning opportunity
to do something. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I love it. So, you know, I know we got a few minutes left to go here, but I wanted to just really ask you and I'm sure there's so many people that are listening. They're curious, you know, tell us a little bit about Peter Diamandis and Ray Kurzweil.
Wow. So two visionaries that got together that, you know, synchronously met and that had a similar vision and decided they were going to do something about it. And that is the story. So they put together an organization called Singularity U. It has grown in people, resources, vision, values. It's pivoted a number of times. So Ray Kurzweil actually, you know, was talking about the singularity where we upload consciousness, etc. And that kind of isn't where we operate from anymore. You know, there are people that believe that we will upload consciousness into a machine. I go, you know, every time I open up my Instagram or my Facebook, I'm uploading part of me into, you know, the ether anyway. Every time I send an email, every time I talk about something near Siri, and then the next time, you'll probably go off now. No. But the next time I get an ad about, you know, that pair of Nikes that I was admiring or whatever. So I believe that part of us is uploaded at every moment in time. But the singularity for me now means people working to a common cause, to create a better planet, to work towards the global grand challenges, to go, how do we heal poverty globally? How do we heal education globally? How do we heal climate? How do we heal all these 12 global grand challenges? And for me, that is a collaboration. And for me, that is working towards a single cause. And for me, that is, if you have the most grandiose ideas and you can achieve something in that field, or if you have baby steps and you make somebody fall in love with science and they go on to be, you know, an amazing researcher, or they come up with a cure for whatever it is. But if you can either make incremental steps and help somebody at an incremental level, or you can have this massive effect on a global scale. It doesn't matter where you sit. I have a friend, and he used to say to me, I would rather be a big fish in a small pond than be a small fish in a big pond. And he's had, you know, he's had such impact. But for him to recognize that's where he feels comfortable and wants to sit is enormous. And I think if we all just take 5 minutes and do that breathing, meditation, yoga, to go, where do I belong? Where do I sit? And we need people to sit in different areas. We don't, one of my pet bugs, I guess, is where we go, everyone needs to be an entrepreneur. And I go, heaven help us if the world was full of entrepreneurs, because you know what? If everybody was the visionary entrepreneur, nobody would do anything. And all those ideas would be hallucination because no one had helped make anything happen.
Exactly.
So we need all those unique skills, and we need people to come together and work together collaboratively. And, you know, it goes in with all the startups and everything now. People don't go, I'm going to back the entrepreneur. They go, I'm going to back the team. And they're not even backing the idea, really. They're backing what that team likely to achieve. Yep, absolutely.
Wow, that's so powerful, actually. That really resonates with me right now, especially as I'm growing. So that's huge because, wow, that's like that. I think you just hit a nail on the head for my personal experience right now, what I'm going through and the massive expansion and growth that I'm going through. So
I know. I just want to thank you. I read your posts I read your post. Yeah.
So I appreciate it. That means a lot. So last question, and I ask every single one of my guests about this because I think it's super important. Yeah. If you had 3 days to live, what would you do? And what would you do? If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Day one, I would make sure that everybody in my life knew how much I loved them. And that love was a really big gift. And to try and put them at ease that maybe I wasn't going to be here after 3 days. So that's number one. Number two would be, what's the biggest impact I could have over the next 2 days? Where would I have, where would my voice be best suited to share a message or whatever? So that would happen on day two. Like, where can I have the biggest impact with what I know for future generations or future organizations? And day three, probably I would sit in meditation or in just getting myself ready for whatever was coming next and finding a peace within myself. So that would be my day one, day two, day three. Wow, I think I'm gonna cry. very powerful Winnie, question. But
yeah, it's so important. Everybody says the same thing. It's like, it's wow, that's an amazing question. So I really want to ask everybody that. One last thing too is, you know, Christina, you know, you blessed us with your time. Where can anybody that's looking to find out more about you, about Singularity U Australia, about Utopia X, find you? And of course, I'll have all of the information in the show notes for anybody that's driving and listening, but please go ahead.
So LinkedIn, Christina Gerakides, LinkedIn, you can find me. And sometimes I'm a bit slow on responding to messages, but I will get to them eventually. And you can, you know, the website, singularityuaustralia.com, utopiax.global, or just any channel that has my name on it. I'm pretty...
Facebook, Instagram?
Instagram, yep. Christina_Gerakides on Instagram, cool. Facebook, yeah, anywhere.
Beautiful. And any last words you want to say? Any last comments, concerns, questions?
Step into your power. We all have it. Just step into it. And it doesn't have to be earth shattering. It just can, you know, step into it. And, you know, the work that you're doing, Eric, is amazing with people and helping them step into their power. And I think the people that help people step into their power are the ones that are constantly questioning their direction and their power. And I think that, you know, you teach best what you most need to learn. And I think every time we learn a lesson about ourselves, is something that we then have a real basis to share with other people. So I think, you know, continue for ourselves exploring and continue that want of growth and live as much as we can in unconditional love. It's such a hard lesson, but live in unconditional love.
Christina, thank you so much. So blessed and so grateful. I'm so excited to connect again in person soon. And stay safe. Many blessings, much love. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you. You too.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now. As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Ballen signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.